The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Let's turn our attention to matters of British politics now. Keir Starmer, the new British Prime Minister, has made it to Belfast. He's touring the four nations of the United Kingdom after Labour's landslide win. TRT World presenter Enda Brady is on the line. Morning, Enda.
Good morning, Jonathan. Great to speak to you again.
It sounds like he's just trying to do the job like a Prime Minister should. It's been a while since we've had that in Britain.
Yeah, look, they've had three competent days so far, and it's been a long time that anyone could say that that's happened back to back to back. So big days, early days for Starmer, but he's hit the ground running. A lot of energy, a lot of key decisions. He got his cabinet installed very, very quickly. There was none of the horse trading that we'd seen in previous Conservative governments where people were coming in saying, well, I backed you on Brexit, or you owe me this, I want that. Starmer basically said, you were doing this, bang, bang, bang. Made his decisions. He has his cabinet. And you're right, four nations of the United Kingdom currently. He's on his tour and he's trying to set the tone for the next 5 years to come.
It's interesting as well, Rachel Reeves, who is the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, the first woman to ever hold that role, is giving a speech right now. I mean, she's taking over from Jeremy Hunt, who was a bit boring. She's suitably boring for the role in question, but already people are looking to a period of stability in British politics after 14 years of Tory rule.
Yes, and in terms of the finances, look, there's no money there. The national debt stands in excess of £2.5 trillion. And on top of that, you know, what she wants to bring, she has a phrase called securonomics. So yes, you're not going to see anything flash. You're not going to see any rabbits out of hats. She's basically going to concentrate on paying down debt for the next 5 years and undoing a lot of the damage of Brexit. So very, very clever woman. She joined the Labour Party from the Bank of England, where she had a very senior position. So she is someone who understands the money markets and really sees the dire state of the British public finances.
The stability that we are seeing from the Labour Party is in stark contrast, because the Tories have been infighting ever since Theresa May left office. When you're looking at this right now, what is the British public making of all of this? Are they breathing a sigh of relief, or is there unrest that perhaps the voices of a majority, because let's face it, 60-odd% didn't vote for Labour, are not being heard about?
So you're getting a lot of disgruntlement from Conservatives who say that the result was unfair. They're now discussing, you know, the merits of proportional representation. They were extremely happy to have first past the post for the last 15 years. And now suddenly, you know, when the goalposts have moved not in their favour, they're not happy with democracy. It is what it is, and it's never going to change. There was a referendum on this in 2011, and the British public decided to stay with first past the post. So what we're seeing is a lot of very angry Conservatives still digesting what has happened and figuring out what went wrong, when really they should have been looking at their real appalling lack of leadership for so long and the offering that was made to the British public. Sunak had no answers to anything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no positive offering whatsoever. He was so bad at politics, he even bailed out of D-Day early to get himself back to England to do a pre-recorded TV interview that could have waited. So, you know, he just didn't have a clue how to win an election. Starmer did. And the guy who guided Starmer, Morgan McSweeney from Macroom in County Cork, political genius strategist, you know, he won the election for Starmer, let's be frank.
No, come on, Ed. They're just grown-ups in a political room full of children. I mean, Starmer made a speech on leaving Downing Street, which, had he adopted that tone throughout the course of the campaign, would probably have kept a lot of voters on side. Instead, they just went after the opposition in a very aggressive, negative way. It's like they forgot how to do politics positively. They could only be negative. Had he kept that approach, they probably would have done better. He still have lost, but they wouldn't have lost as badly.
Yes, Sunak, you know, I think you're right. It was quite a gracious departure speech from number 10. It was the best humility we've seen from him in a very long time. But look, he will be working what out. What's he going to do next? He's off to California, if the rumours I'm hearing are correct. He's not short of a bob. He's married to a billionaire. Good luck to them. But Starmer's job now is to rebuild Britain, try and recover the international reputation. I'm in Paris this morning here, just looking at the aftermath of the elections here yesterday. And they laugh at what has gone on in London for years and years. And people are saying, this new guy, he seems serious. he is a serious man, and Britain is in a very serious place right now with serious problems. And that's what's needed. You know, all the Conservatives saying what a boring man Starmer is. He is a public servant who spent his entire life serving the public. And for far too long, British politics has just been riven by very craven, self-centred people who are in it for themselves. Yeah. So let's see if he can change that.
Well, let's talk about Northern Ireland as well, because Keir Starmer is there. Interestingly, Sue Gray apparently had been set to become the lead civil servant in Northern Ireland, but Sinn Féin and the DUP didn't like her at the time. Now she's back as Starmer's chief of staff. You know, the appointment of Hilary Benn as Northern Secretary, the fact he has visited and he's meeting with the parties in the North, it does look like they kind of understand Northern Ireland a little bit better than the last government.
Well, look, let's be frank here. They had a woman called Karen Bradley as Northern Ireland Secretary. She actually gave an interview and said out loud in public to journalists that she had found out that Catholics don't vote for unionist parties and Protestants don't vote for Sinn Féin and nationalist parties.
A terrible shock. Shock for them, I'm sure.
Shock horror. I know. I mean, you know, she just said this was a big learning experience for the Conservatives about politics in the north of Ireland. So, look, they've got Hilary Benn in now, Northern Ireland Secretary. He is very in tune with Irish life. He is the son of Tony Benn, the late, great Tony Benn, who was a great friend of Ireland and a firm believer in a united Ireland. So that's who is now Northern Ireland Secretary. He has a lot of work to do, but again, they will hit the ground running. I think we will see moderate changes coming in. And it's good news for the relationship between Dublin and London and Belfast.
Yeah, we were talking earlier on about the French system, Enda, and how that now has resulted in a complete bonus kyun from what happened last weekend. Now that the National Party are shoved down and this weird left coalition is actually the largest size. The British system, I know you say that they rejected, they're not very good at referendums, I think we can say. They rejected the idea of proportional representation in England, Wales and Scotland, and I suppose Northern Ireland for general elections. And now they're saying the system is broken, but it clearly is. When you have the Liberal Democrats getting less of the national vote than Reform, yet the Liberal Democrats end up with 70 odd seats and Reform end up with 4 or 5.
Yeah, but it's where the vote was concentrated. Labour went after marginal seats that they could take from the Conservatives. They concentrated all their resources in those places, and the result stands. So all these very angry, bitter Conservatives now coming out and saying that Starmer has no mandate. He has the biggest political mandate since Tony Blair walked into Downing Street in May 1997. So he absolutely has a mandate, and the system is not going to change. That conversation is over. I mean, they need to have a conversation now about fixing Britain so people can drink the tap water, swim in the rivers, bathe in the sea, have a future for their children and afford their mortgage rates, because Liz Truss, bless her, has absolutely ramped up life and cost of living for every single person in the UK who has a mortgage, and she got her comeuppance the other night as well.
Yeah, it's a funny, this narrative, which you and I would have talked about in the past quite openly, it's now creeping into British media as well, as if somehow they're waking from a fever dream. That maybe perhaps the Tories were being given a bit of an easy ride in the press for the last 14 years. Enda Brady, presenter of TRT World. Pleasure as always. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.